The following message was given by Brothers Peter Shao and Brother Dennis Cooley in the Church in New York City on the Lord's Day, August 26, 2018. The title of the message is The Consecration of the Priests. Scripture verses are Exodus chapter 19, verse 6, Leviticus chapter 8, verses 1 through 3, 6, verse 10 through 12, verse 14, verse 18, verses 22 to 24, verses 26 to 28, verse 33, and verse 35. And Leviticus chapter 10, verse 17, and 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 5 and 9.
This message is on the consecration of the priests. After the decree of the law and the building up of the tabernacle at Sinai, God gave his people all the chapters of Leviticus to train them to partake of him, to worship him, and to live a holy, clean, and rejoicing life. We know from Exodus chapter 12 that the children of Israel had sojourned in the land of Egypt for 430 years. They experienced Christ as the Passover, or I should say in the figure of the Passover, the reality of their redemption. They experienced baptism in the figure of their passing through the death waters of the Red Sea. And now, the children of Israel, 430 years in Egypt, Passover, the Red Sea, now they are in the wilderness. And in the wilderness, God desired to live in their midst. God desired to dwell with them. But how can the holy God dwell in the midst of an unholy, profane, and common people? How can the one who lives in glory dwell in the midst of a people that falls short of that glory? He is the God, we know from the New Testament, the God of the Hebrews. And yet here is an Egyptian constituted elect. The diet, the constitution, and the appetite of the children of Israel after 430 years had become Egyptian. And so therefore, God's people need training. Yes. Amen. In particular, God's people need a reconstitution with regards to who they are, with how they live, and we will see later how even they live with one another. Amen. And in Leviticus chapters 1 through 7, we have a record of Christ as the offerings, and as the laws of all the offerings which we enjoyed before. Those offerings and those laws initiate the training, the reconstitution, and the remaking of God's redeemed, so that he can dwell in their midst, they know how to live with him, and they know how to worship him, they know how to partake of him, and they know how to live in a way that is according to God's desire, that is holy, clean, and rejoicing. So saints, we have to be clear that as important as our exodus from Egypt is, without the training in Leviticus, we may be very far and very short from God's goal in the divine revelation. If God says we need training, then we need training. I need training. So with this as an introduction to our resumption of the training messages on Leviticus, our training continues now with chapter 8. And Leviticus has more than just the seven chapters of offerings. Actually, the offerings in chapters 1 through 7 are for the matter indicated in Leviticus chapter 8, which is the consecration, or I saw in those verses, it seems like we have the filling of hands. So the offerings in chapters 1 through 7 are for the filling of hands of the priests, or for the consecration of the priests in Leviticus chapter 8. And this indicates that whatever Christ does for us, whatever Christ is to us, in the offerings in chapters 1 through 7 are to constitute us priests. Saints, don't you enjoy Christ as your trespass offering? Amen. Don't you enjoy Christ as your sin offering? Amen. What about when you're not at peace with another member here right now? Don't you enjoy Christ as your peace offering? Yeah. And yet all these offerings are for the consecration, the filling of hands of the priests. Okay. In Hebrew, as we mentioned already and you read up there, the word consecrate means to fill the hands. Consecration means to fill the hands. And we read in the verses that at one point, Moses took three things, right? He took an unleavened bread, he took a cake of oiled bread, and he took a wafer, and he placed them on the fat portions in the right thigh of the ram of consecration. Right. And so you have these three things put on the two things, and we don't have time to go into the details, but they're very rich. And he puts all of them into the hands of whom? Into the palms of Aaron and the palms of his sons. This is very significant. We see that nowhere in the divine record on consecration do we see Aaron and his sons saying, promising Jehovah, I will do this, I will do that. Jehovah, I promise to do this. Jehovah, I promise to do that. To do something for God is our concept of consecration. To be something for God is our concept of consecration. But when were Aaron and his sons consecrated? What is God's thought of consecration? Their consecration was when their palms, their hands, were filled with the offerings, were filled with what was to be offered to Jehovah as a satisfying fragrance. Consecration is a filling of our hands with the type of Christ in different aspects. So, brothers and sisters, I wrote here, the question of consecration with all of us is not what we have promised to do for God or to be for God. The question of consecration we should ask is this: when was the last time our hands were filled with Christ? Amen. When was the last time our hands were filled with Christ at our job, at our school? When was the last time, and I'm not making an observation here, this is just a general statement. When was the last time our hands were filled with Christ at the Lord's table meeting? When was the last time our hands were filled with Christ at our ushering service, at our practical service? This week is on the sin-dealing life, so I just ask that very gently. And again, I'm just making a general statement. In our first birth, we were constituted sinners. We know that from Romans chapter 5. But through our second birth, we were all constituted priests. So there was a change in our constitution, not only from a sinner to a son of God, but from a sinner to a priest. But I enjoy this one statement in our reading this week. And I read it to you. In the reading, it said, now we need our consecration and God's ordination to make our priesthood official. Amen. So yes, we have been constituted priests through our second birth. But how often, dear saints, is our priesthood official? I'm afraid that although we are priests, we may not be priests official enough. And it's not a matter of my wearing this suit, it doesn't make me a priest. It's a matter of whether our hands are filled with Christ. Amen. We may be a priest in the meetings, but we are not a priest after the meetings. We may be a priest in front of the saints, but we are not a priest in front of our family. I know parents always worry about this because my parents tell me this. Oh, the saints always think that I'm so nice. Or my mother tells me, the saints always think your dad is so nice, but they don't know who he really is. Oh, Lord Jesus. If you've ever encountered that, that means, oh, there's a difference. We may not be a priest all the time. Brothers and sisters, priesthood is not a part-time choice. It is a full-time status. Amen. And here I'll just share a short experience. A few weeks ago, I was in fellowship with the Lord on my way home from work late at night. And under the Lord's gentle shining, the Lord touched me concerning how I spend my time on my phone. And in His mercy, I don't know how it happened, but I discovered that on my phone, in battery settings, you can see how much time you spent on every app, every application on your phone. It'll say you spent this percentage on the internet, this percentage on the Bible, this percentage on so forth. And on that particular day, I discovered that I spent 20% of my time on my phone reading the Bible, but I spent 20% of my time going on Facebook. And the Lord showed me, and you know, I don't do anything particular on Facebook. I just read the news, or I go to Google News and I read news. But I just felt like I must have grieved the Lord a lot. I felt that before the Lord, my hands, you can say, were half filled with Christ and half filled with news, with unimportant updates about people on Facebook, with unimportant news. And so by the Lord's mercy, after I discovered that I spent this time on my phone, I told the Lord, and if you spent your time on the phone in an unproductive way, you can do the same. I told the Lord, I cannot promise you to do anything from my flesh. But I don't agree with the preoccupation of the phone over me. I don't agree that the phone should have power over me. And I agree with your speaking in my spirit that I should be wholly occupied with you. Amen. And Lord, deal with me in this matter of how I use my phone. Deal with me in a way like you've never dealt with me before. Amen. So that I'm never the same. Lord, I don't want to reserve. And saints, we don't want to reserve anything for the self. Or else we will be stuck with the Lord dealing with our phone. We want the Lord dealing with us to be thorough and once for all. Amen. And I told the Lord, Lord, blessed is the person, is the man who is always filled with you. Brothers and sisters, I encourage you to go to the Lord and go to His word, to allow the Lord to touch you with how you fill your hands. And for the young believers, the Lord may touch something outward. But for the believers who have had a relationship with the Lord for a long time, and for me, I was saved when I was 9, so I haven't had a relationship with the Lord for that long. But when we've been with the Lord for a long time, the Lord may touch us concerning our habits, our church life habits, our customs, our church life customs, our self, and even our natural disposition. So we all need the experience of being emptied and being unloaded. Amen. The Lord wants our hands, brothers and sisters, to be filled with Him. Amen. And the Lord's commandment is so clear in the Gospels. He said in Luke chapter 10, and in Matthew, and in Mark, He said, you shall love the Lord your God from where? From your whole heart. And with your whole, what? With your whole soul. And with your whole strength. And with your whole mind. Brothers and sisters, God does not compromise on the whole. We have to love the Lord with our whole heart. We have to have our hands wholly filled with Christ. Without this step of the application of the cross to what is already filling our hands, we will find that it is very difficult to consecrate. It is very difficult to have our hands filled with Christ. Okay, so this is the starting point, and now I will make a transition. We are told in Leviticus chapter 8, in the verses that we read, that Aaron and his sons were anointed, and they laid their hands on three things, right? They laid their hands first on the head of the bull of the sin offering, and then they lay their hands on the head of the ram of the burnt offering, and then they lay their hands on the ram of consecration. And moreover, after they lay their hands on these three things, which are all significant, they had blood, I'll use the words of the Bible, they had blood put on the right, on the lobe of their right ear, and on the thumb of their right hand, and on the toe of their right foot. Okay, what is the significance of all of this? I'm just going to summarize, won't give a detail. On the one hand, brothers and sisters, once we've experienced the Lord and enjoy the Lord, our hands, we have offerings. And these offerings are a satisfying fragrance to God. That's on God's side. But on our side, these offerings, and I use the word in the ministry, these offerings are a reminder to us. Reminder to us. The first reminder is with the sin offering. And the bull of the sin offering, signifying the stronger and richer Christ as our sin offering, reminds us that we ourselves are a constitution of what? Of the flesh, the old man, Satan, the world, and the ruler of the world. And that we need to offer Christ daily as our sin offering. So this is what the sin offering reminds us, that we are a constitution of all these negative things. But the ram of the burnt offering is the second reminder. When we put our hands on Christ as the reality of the ram of the burnt offering, he reminds us that he is the strong Christ as our burnt offering. And that as serving ones, we must be absolute for God, and yet we are not. And that we need to take Christ daily as our burnt offering for our priestly service. So I thought in our reading, I summarized it very well. It said, these offerings remind us of who and what we are, and they remind us of what we should be and yet are not. And yet are not. So I think this is very practical. And I just want to end on an encouraging note for my portion. You know, brothers and sisters, as we serve, we start to realize that we cannot be who God wants us to be. And we cannot do what God wants us to do. I have this one service where I have to translate the written publication word by word, phrase by phrase, sentence by sentence, and I have to do it accurately, I have to be exact, and I have to keep the spirit of the person who released that message, and I have to stay within my measure to not be an editor, but be a translator. So if I feel that something it wasn't worded the right way, I don't have the freedom to edit. I have to translate it word by word, even if it grammatically doesn't make sense. And brothers and sisters, I tell you, when I serve in this way, and sometimes it's very late at night, I realize, Lord, I cannot be who you want me to be. I cannot do what you want me to do. And so often, in other things, I tell the Lord, Lord, I am short of enjoying you. You ever tell the Lord this? Lord, I am short of loving you. Lord, I'm short in my being filled with you. And yet, brothers and sisters, my dear saints, for all our shortages, we can have the blood applied to our hearing, to our working, and to our walking, our living. we can be anointed. We can be washed by the Spirit. We can be anointed by the processed triune God with all that he has done for us and with all that he is to us. The one which we sang in hymn 190, how good, what thou art meets our every need. And concerning these two points on the sin offering, burnt offering, you know, brothers and sisters, we have one in us who is short in nothing. He is short in not who he can be. He is not short in what he can do. So, for example, and this is very practical. I deal with this a lot. We sin, right? And some of our sins are besetting sins. We do the same things all the time. We have to tell the Lord, Lord, I still sin. But Lord, you live in me, and you never sinned. You dealt, as a sin offering, you dealt with the flesh, the old man, Satan, the world, the ruler of the world, and you terminated all these negative things on the cross. And I've learned to tell the Lord, Lord, and the effectiveness of that termination now operates, is now spreading in my soul through the permeating, through the dispensing of the Spirit. The effectiveness of all that the Lord has done is permeating, is dispensing into our being. In this way, we enjoy the Lord as the sinless sin offering. And I tell the Lord, I'm not after sinless perfection. I'm after Christification. And we tell the Lord, Lord, and you know, sometimes we overcome sin. And those who have, I wasn't going to share this, but I'll say this. Those who have truly overcome a particular sin know that it is not they who overcame the sin, that it is the Lord who overcame that sin. So anyone who ministers the sin-dealing life never has an attitude of condemnation because they know it wasn't they the ones that did it, but it was the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, sorry, I wasn't going to share that, but I go on to the burnt offering. Now, what if we are not absolute? And I know none of us are. So we tell the Lord, Lord, I may not love you with my whole heart just yet, but I come to touch you. I come to receive the dispensing of the one who is absolute to God. Amen. I receive the dispensing of the one who does love God absolutely. Amen. You are my burnt offering, and it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. Hallelujah. When we pray to the Lord in this way, the Lord is our sin offering, the Lord is our burnt offering, and the Lord is our absoluteness to God. Isn't that wonderful, brothers and sisters? I'm getting so excited, I'm slurring my words. Anyway, I'll end with this short, I have this just one paragraph left. When our hands have thus been filled with Christ, then whenever we come to the tent, before the entrance of the tent of meeting, whenever we come before the congregation, God will find us not empty-handed. Amen. And our hands will be filled with our experiences and enjoyment of Christ. Right. And we will wave it as a wave offering in resurrection to him. Amen. And it will be as the verses say, it will be a satisfying fragrance to Jehovah. And we will have the Lord's gracious smile. And we will know how to be with the Lord, and the Lord can dwell with us, and we will know how to worship him and partake of him and live a holy, clean, and rejoicing life. Amen. God is training us to do this with Leviticus. So, brothers and sisters, let us all be trained and be open to the Lord's training. That's my portion.
That first verse again, Exodus 19:5. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall, children of. So even in the Old Testament, particularly in the Old Testament, God's intention was that his people would be a kingdom of priests. And throughout our church history, our Christian history. This matter has somewhat been lost among us, and we consider priests to be more professional serving ones of God, and the rest of us are just laymen, you know, coming to the church meetings to get something from the serving ones. But actually, that is not the revelation of the Scripture. The revelation of the Scripture is that every person who receives the life of God, as our brother mentioned, every person who has been born of God is a priest. We all have this office, we all have this function, and we need to learn to function as priests. Now I'd like us all to read 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Let's read it together, and then I'm going to read part of the footnote. If you have your footnote, you can read with me as well. 1 Peter 2, 9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people acquired for a possession, so that you may tell out the virtues of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. And the last half of footnote 9, 1, starting with chosen race in italics, is very sweet. Let me read that to you. If you have it, you can read along. Chosen race denotes our descent from God. We're born of God, and we are a chosen race. Royal priesthood, our service to God. So now that we have been born of God, right, we are a chosen race, but we are a royal priesthood. This is related to our service to God. Holy nation, our being a community for God. I think this is very sweet. We are a community to God, right? And a people acquired for a possession, our preciousness to God. I don't know if you consider this, how precious you are to the Lord. You are a people acquired for a possession. These all are in a corporate sense. Hence, we need to be built together. This is what we're talking about, our being a royal, holy, kingly priesthood. And so we need to be built up together. Now, this chapter 8 of Leviticus is on the consecration of the priests. And I'd like to say this about consecration. One point that touched me this week was that this consecration was for 7 days. I think we read those verses in Leviticus 8:33. You shall not go out from the entrance of the tent of meeting for 7 days until the days of your consecration are fulfilled. I think this version says the days of the filling of your hands are fulfilled, right? For it will take 7 days to fill your hands. This touched me this week because what the Lord spoke to me, you know, when I was born into a Christian family, I was saved when I was young, and I consecrated myself to the Lord as a teenager. And I consecrated myself again, I don't remember if I was 19 or 20, but you know, in my early college years. And when I came into the church life, I consecrated my whole life to the Lord again. But in this chapter, I realized, and in this portion I was touched, that our consecration is not just events. We do need some times where we really are touched by the Lord and we give ourselves to the Lord. Maybe we make a vow. I don't know if we promise much, but that's not the point. We do give ourselves. It's a voluntary matter, but it's not just an event. It must become our living. And here you see this. It's the whole 7 days, which is the whole Christian life. So really, brothers and sisters, we should be offering Christ, you know, as our sin offering, as our burnt offering, even as our ram of consecration every day. Amen. We should renew our consecration every day and give ourselves to the Lord every day to love Him, to have our hands filled with Him. I remember when I first came into the church life, we were on this some verses about consecration, and I heard this definition that consecration means filling the hands. I was very touched by that. And at that time, I thought, I just need to have the Bible in my hands all the time and just read it all the time, which is not a bad thing. We need to fill our living, our life with the Lord. So we spend more time with Him, more time to read the Word, more time to pray to the Lord, more time to fellowship with the saints, so that our hands, what we are involved in, what we are doing are filled with the reality of Christ Himself. And then we never would come to the meeting empty-handed. We always will come to the meeting with some experiences of Christ to share with one another or to praise the Lord for at the Lord's table. And we've been on this burden for, I think more than a year now. And we come to the Lord's table. If you have experienced Christ this week, to whatever degree, maybe you've experienced Christ in a tremendous way this week. So you come with a bull, the stronger, richer Christ. But maybe you've just experienced Christ in smaller ways this week. You just have two turtle doves. It's okay. The Lord takes all the offerings. He takes your turtle dove, Christ, and He takes your bull, Christ, or your ram experience of Christ. Anyway, the point is we come with something of the Lord and our experience of the Lord. And I don't know how you felt, I treasure the Lord's table this morning. I may lose my voice in a few minutes because I was singing too loud and I have a bit of a cold, but anyway, I just worship the Lord that we can be here worshiping Him and singing to Him with our whole being at the Lord's table meeting. Praise the Lord. Our hands are not empty. They are filled with Christ. So I would like to just say another little more on these three verses, the bull of the sin offering. Let's read Leviticus 8:14 one more time. I think we have it. Let's read it all together. 8:14. And he brought the bull of the sin offering. In the earlier chapters of Leviticus, the burnt offering is mentioned first. But related to the consecration of the priests, the sin offering is mentioned first. The bull of the sin offering, which our brother mentioned to us, it signifies the richer, stronger Christ who takes care of our sin, which is related to our sinful nature. It's not the trespass offering, which is related to our sinful deeds. It's related to our flesh, the world being Satan's evil nature in our being. To consecrate ourselves to the Lord, for us to be consecrated to the Lord, and in this portion of the readings we had this week, on our side we consecrate. On the Lord's side, He is ordaining us as priests. For Him to ordain us as priests, for us to be consecrated as priests, we first need to realize our sinful nature. We are not worthy. We're not coming to serve the Lord because we are anything. We are laying our hands on the bull sin offering, on the stronger Christ who is our sin offering, with the full realization that we are nothing, we are full of sin, we're constituted with sin, and we need the Lord Jesus. What does it mean to lay our hands on Him? It means to identify with Him, to be one with Him. We need Him. And we need to enjoy Him as the richer and stronger Christ. And this phrase that our brother Peter mentioned that came out in the reading, this sin-dealing Christ, He's the only one that can deal with the sinful nature. And we need to be filled with Him as the sin-dealing Christ, constituted with Him as the sin-dealing Christ. Now let's read Galatians 6, 1 and 2. I don't think we read those verses yet. Let's read them all together. Ready? Brothers, even if a man is overtaken in some offense, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, looking to yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ completely. You know, in the church life, we're a family, and we're very close to one another. And often, we may fall into some sinful situation, or we may fail in a certain way. And the saints know. Some saints know about it. Some saints may know. And our natural fleshly tendency is to judge that and to judge one another. But Galatians tells us we should bear one another. And if there is someone, right, who is overtaken in some offense, you who are spiritual, We shouldn't judge that one, but we should bear that one and go to him in a spirit of meekness and help him, try to help him to overcome that offense or that sinful situation. And this takes a lot of time. This can't be done, you know, and it's not done by, you know, coming to my brother and say, Roger, listen, you know, you can't do that. It's really bad, and you got to pay your taxes or else you're going to get in trouble. You just can't condemn him for something. That's not going to help him. I think he probably already knows you should pay your taxes or whatever it is, right? But to come to him in a spirit of meekness, in a spirit of love, and just to shepherd him and to be with him and to spend the time with him. And if we are enjoying Christ as this stronger sin-dealing life, then the Christ we minister to the brother will be the sin-dealing life. And that sin-dealing life, over time, it may take a little bit of time, it may take a long period of time, but that shepherding, that ministry of this life, the life that can overcome our sin, is ministered to him, then eventually he will be healed from that. And he can be restored. And brothers and sisters, I just feel like, you know, we talk about our banners this year, right? Shepherding and restoring, recovering certain saints who haven't been meeting with us. Some may be because of this situation. There may be other reasons, schedule, their jobs, and so forth. But anyway, it's worth our while. In the life study, Brother Lee brought this out. It is really worth our while to spend 8 months, 9 months, a year to recover some back who may be in this kind of a condition. And the way to do it is little by little, in a spirit of meekness, no judgment, just to minister this sin-dealing Christ to one another. And that will, you know, he uses this example. When someone is sick, the doctor gives them a prescription for medication. They may not understand all about their sickness. It may not be that they, you know, they have to understand all the biology of it, all the chemistry of it. But if they take their medicine, they will get better. Well, our medicine is to eat the good physician. Our medicine is to eat Christ and to take Christ and to receive the sin-dealing Christ. And this Christ is our healer. He is the one that can save us from our sin and bring us back into a proper way. I would like to read Ephesians 4:2, which we don't have listed. But I want to read this verse to you. It's in the similar vein. Thank you, Lord. Ephesians 4:2, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, bearing one another in love. This is what we're talking about. We need to bear one another in love. We are a priesthood, a royal, kingly priesthood. We need to be built together. And if some are falling, if some have failed, and they feel, you know, it's difficult when you fail. You feel condemned. You don't want to come to the meeting. And you need someone to come and minister Christ to you. You need someone to shepherd you. And we all at different times need someone to help us in this area. And we who are spiritual need to reach out and to go to these ones. Of course, it's by the Lord's leading, but I hope that we would be sensitive in our time with the Lord if he reminds us of someone. This week, the Lord reminded me of a brother who grew up among us and has moved to another locality, to another state. And I just had the realization, how is he doing? You know, when you change location, you change church life, you don't know anybody there. I'm not sure how he's doing. So I want to reach out to him and find out, how is he doing? And try to, you know, encourage him to go on and make sure he's connected with the brothers. Anyway, we do have this kind of a burden, and this is part of our priesthood. This is part of our consecration to the Lord. Then the ram of the burnt offering. Let's read Leviticus 8:18 once again. And he presented the ram of the burnt offering, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the head of the ram. Again, just to repeat what Peter said and strengthen that, This is a reminder that we are not absolute for God. And I had a lot of repenting this week over this point that, you know, we're here in the church life, we're loving the Lord, we're serving the Lord maybe in many areas, but how is our consecration? How is our burnt offering? To be consecrated to the Lord, we need to deal with our sin and take Christ as our sin offering. We also need to be reminded that we are not absolute for the Lord. We may be partially absolute for the Lord. We may be sometimes absolute for the Lord. But even day by day, we need to take Christ as our burnt offering. We need to enjoy Him as the one who is absolute for God. What He is meets our every need. So we need to enjoy this, lay our hands on Christ as our burnt offering day by day, so that we would have the strength, we would have the supply of this precious Christ to be absolute for the Lord for today. Amen. To be absolute for the Lord for this period of time. And then I want to end with Leviticus 8, 22 through 24. Let's read those verses one more time. And he presented the other ram, the ram of consecration, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the head of the ram. And he slaughtered it. And Moses took some of its blood and put it on the lobe of Aaron's right ear and on the thumb of his right hand and on the big toe of his right foot. And he brought Aaron's sons near, and Moses put some of the blood on the lobe of their right ear and on the thumb of their right hand and on the big toe of their right foot. And Moses sprinkled the rest of the blood on and around the altar. This is very practical. The ram of consecration was very particular connotation or denotation here in Leviticus. This is specifically after the ram of the sin, of the bull of the sin offering and the ram of the burnt offering. Now it comes to the ram of consecration. And the blood of the ram was put on the right ear. Very significant. This means that if we are to be serving as priests, if we are to be ordained as priests, that's from God's side, consecrated as priests from our side, our ear must be sanctified. Our ear must be open to our Master. Our ear must be cleansed by the blood to listen to what the Master says, to do what the Master desires, what He wants to do. And you know, we have a great pattern in our Lord Jesus, who tells us in the book of John, which we just went through for the past 10 weeks, that He never did anything on His own. He never spoke His own word. He only did what the Father wanted Him to do. And He's oftentimes in the Gospels, you see, He sent the disciples away, went up to the mountain to pray, sometimes spending the whole night in prayer to God. What was He doing there? I believe His ear was open to the Father, to listen to what is the Father's desire. What does the Father want to do? What is the Father doing tomorrow? And I feel we need more time with the Lord to have our ear opened. This reminds me of Exodus 21, 5 and 6. I think we have it. Let's read these verses together. This is the section on, among the children of Israel, if you fell into poverty, you could sell yourself into slavery to another Hebrew, to another Jew, right? But after a certain period of time, your service, you were released in the year of Jubilee, and you could go out free from that service and go back to your land, to your portion of land. But if the servant loved his master, and if the servant got married while he was in the care of his master, and loved his wife and his children, and wanted to stay with them, he could voluntarily remain a slave to that master. And the way that that transaction took place was these two verses. Let's read this together. But if the servant plainly says, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free. Then his master shall bring him to God, and shall bring him to the door or to the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him. This verse has always touched me. If we want to serve the Lord, our ear must be opened. It must be bored through with an awl, that we would be open to the master's speaking. And even if the doorpost is very meaningful, you know, the servants, they're just standing at the door waiting for the master to tell them what to do next, to tell them what to do. The ear is always open. And there's never any, I don't want to do that, or, you know, there's never any, but that's not the way to do it, and there's never any opinion about it. They just, the faithful ones, right? They just obey. And that's the way we need to be with our Lord. We need to have our ear opened. The blood is on the ear, that our ear would be open to the Lord. And then we have these verses in Isaiah 50, 4 and 5, also on the same point. These are very sweet. Let's read them together. The Lord, Jehovah, has given me the tongue of the instructed, that I should know. Morning by morning, he awakens my ear to hear as an instructed one. The Lord Jehovah has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, nor did I turn back. I think many of us have had this experience. The Lord wakes you up early in the morning, and you have some feeling about something. Maybe he speaks something specific to you. That is a tremendous thing, brothers and sisters. God himself has awakened you and is speaking to you right then. We should pay attention. Don't let that go so easily. Whenever that happens to me, it happened to me earlier this week, I just want to spend more time with him. Well, what do you mean by this? You know, you have some feeling about something. Spend some time with the Lord, fellowship, and open to him. And he has something he wants to speak to us. This is to have an ear open. The ear of an instructed one. He's instructing us in something. Maybe it's to call another saint that you haven't seen in a while. Maybe it's to pray for your relatives who are not saved yet. I don't know. Many, many things. But whenever the Lord awakens us, we should wake up and spend that time. It may be so, you know, sometimes it's very early. It's okay. You can go back to sleep after that. But spend some time to listen. And I know we're very busy. We live in a very busy city. When I tell the saints from other localities how much time most of the saints travel, an hour and a half to work and back every day, they just can't believe you have this kind of commute and so busy, it takes up so much time. And I know on our morning revival time, if we have 10 minutes, wow, that's a victory, you know. And it is, actually. It's very good. But sometimes we should be open to spend more time with the Lord. If we can get up a little earlier, spend 15 minutes or 20 minutes, and give the Lord more time to what? Not to pray our burdens and our needs so much. We can do that. But the first thing we should do is open to him and open our ear to him and let him instruct us. Let him lead us. There is nothing more precious than this. And this is to serve him as a priest. So I hope that we could spend more time with the Lord and that our time would be more profitable. You know, to learn how to spend time in the Lord quietly, it takes practice. It doesn't come overnight because our mind is racing. You have to learn to calm the mind down and just open to the Lord. And then if the Lord speaks something, just pray that back to the Lord. Maybe you don't understand it. That's okay. Just tell him, I'm not sure what you mean by this, but amen, Lord. But learn how to calm down our own thinking, our own thoughts, because the enemy's attack is mainly in the mind. All the flaming darts are to cause us to doubt, to cause us to question. They're in our mind. They come. You know, and we all have this experience. You want to spend some time with the Lord early in the morning, and all of a sudden you start thinking about, maybe I should go to Europe this year. You know, out of the blue, you know. Or gee, I haven't seen my relatives in Carolina. Maybe I should go down and visit them. All kinds of things come up. And many times, those are just the enemy's attack to distract you from just being open to the Lord. So we have to learn by practicing to spend more time with the Lord. So brothers and sisters, we are the priests. We are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people acquired for a possession. And so our priesthood needs a consecration, even a daily consecration, for the Lord to ordain us as priests to serve Him in His house. You know, our real service is not here on earth. It's in eternity. And all of what we're learning today in serving the Lord is our internship. We're learning to serve Him today, to obey His voice today, because our real service is that we will serve Him in eternity, for eternity. We will be serving the Lord. So may the Lord train us, and may we learn how to serve Him properly today.